This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hulse Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. It's going to be a little hot today, but I think the cool weather is going to hit us maybe tomorrow and throughout the weekend. We can hope. Joining me now on the First Advantage Hotline, Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and he is the CSU Rams insider. Kevin, my man, it's good to see you last week, my friend. I look different now. I'm all shaved up, got the haircut today, so we finally got that disgusting, gross thing off my face. I feel much better.
You know, is it bad that in my head when they got to the 34, I was like, man, it'd be kind of funny if the Rockies went on like an 8-game losing streak right now.
Oh, Kevin, you wouldn't have been
is
alone.
Is that bad?
Yeah, it is bad. You're supposed to be, like, I consider us to be pretty good friends. You're supposed to be my friend, and you should have been rooting for me to lose that thing.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, I get it. But, you know.
Well, they did get to 30 wins, and then they went on an 8-game losing streak. So I was like, oh, we are so close. But found a way. I mean, they're kind of getting hot right now, Kevin.
They're playing well, to be fair. I mean, I still think, you know, the core is rotten, and they kind of need to blow everything up. But they got some young guys playing hard. Yeah. You can't appreciate that.
Yeah, and we'll see. If this is just, as Michael was saying earlier, is this just a streak right now? Even bad teams find it. But I think if they find a way to get to like 47 or 50 wins in the season, suddenly you're going, maybe this is a better team. But there's still like 35 games left, so plenty of time for this thing to just go haywire again. But, Kevin, we're getting darn close, man. We are about a week away from Colorado State and Washington going at it. Michael back there on the production side is a diehard Washington fan, so I'm already saying CSU's going to blow them out, man. It's going to be a blowout.
Washington's up by 27 now.
Yeah, Kevin, go ahead.
Yeah, you should tweet that and see what's the fan reaction.
You know, I think I'm staying away from some of those bold predictions at this stage. But you tell me. What have you learned about this team? I know you noted in one of your articles this week, you were talking specifically about like the defensive backs and, you know, tight press coverage, trying to get interceptions. That's what Jay Norvell was talking to us about last week at Media Day, Kevin, was he wants to see an aggressive defense, not one that maybe just going to be known for making stops. He wants turnovers. He wants to flip the field.
Yeah, I mean, this defense is built on havoc, basically. The Freddie Banks defense was vanilla. It was, you know, sit there, do the same thing, hope you can stop them. And it didn't work very well. It wasn't a very good defense. They were really, really bad in the red zone. But a way you can negate, you know, in modern college football, there are going to be yards. It's almost impossible to just completely lock down an opponent. Just the way the game is built, the rules are enforced, all that. But the equalizer is turnovers. If you can create a lot of turnovers, that just changes everything. And that's what Tyson Summers' defense is built on. His Western Kentucky teams were always in the top tier in their league in turnovers, and that's what CSU needs to be. And yeah, some of that is the DBs, and some of it is the DBs being able to cover one-on-one while you send a bunch of dudes at the quarterback to try and create those turnovers. So it's just, this defense is just going to look a whole lot different for fans. You know, sometimes changes are a little more subtle. This one's not going to be subtle.
That was kind of one of my bigger question marks, not necessarily a concern because you don't know what you don't know, but certainly a big question mark was, will this defense be as, I mean, like you said, they had their flaws last year, but will they at least be capable of making, you know, stringing together some stops, or could they potentially be better? Have you seen, again, it's practice, it's scrimmages, all that. Have you seen enough from this defense for you to at least think, yeah, I think they have a shot at being better than they were last season?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's hard to tell because, like you say, they're playing against each other, and especially for a defense, they can't hit the quarterback in practices, all that. So there are a lot of qualifiers for a defense in practices. But I'm becoming kind of bullish on this group. I'm not saying they're going to be best in the nation, anything like that. But I think they can create some havoc. I like these linebackers. Which again, they're linebackers that do a lot. Like you have a few guys that are, more heavy pass rush linebackers. Some that are more your traditional, sideline to sideline. But I like that group a lot, and I think that's kind of a key to this defense. I'm cautiously becoming optimistic about this defense.
Yeah, well, and that's, again, that's the big question mark for a lot of people. But who knows? This would be great if you could see a defense that is coming up with these big turnovers. Then that goes to the other side of the ball. What you're going to be asking, if you do have a good defense that's capable of that, you're going to be asking BFN all the time anyway, but to really be careful with that football. Where are you at on Braden Fowler-Nicolosi? I mean, obviously he has a chance to kind of put his name into some CSU history this season if he can perform well. So, I mean, I know there's a lot of excitement generated around him.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued to see what he does and how the offense looks. This time last year, we thought CSU was going to be throwing it around, and then Jay Norvell kind of did a late change-up on everyone. They're going to throw it around a lot more. There's going to be a lot more on BFN, as far as ability to kind of unleash the passing attack. I'm just really intrigued. I don't know what to expect. I mean, he talks the talk. He sounds like what you would expect, a veteran year three starter to sound like, but we just need to see it on the field. We've seen, kind of the highs and lows of it throughout. Can he do it consistently, put up those big numbers without the big turnovers of a couple of years ago? I'm just fascinated, like everyone else, to see what it looks like. I think there's some decent weapons around. The tight ends being really good, I think, is going to be a huge part of this. So that's a positive thing. The line obviously has a big say, and I certainly have some question marks there. So it's still a pretty big question mark on offense right now.
Well, okay, I have a question. This is a challenge for you, Kevin. The center for Colorado State, or at least maybe the projected starter at center for Colorado State. How do you say his name? I'm curious to hear you say it, Kevin.
Yeah, Big A. Ator Uranabachia.
That's pretty good.
I say it with confidence, but not actually certain. I'm actually going to talk to Big A, hopefully early next week, get that confirmed. But yeah, he's going to start center at Washington. He's kind of taken that over in the last week plus. Because frankly, there are too many balls on the ground in practice. They needed more consistency there. He had been working at right guard, so he's been in the top group. He just moves over. And even back to spring ball, and I remember one practice, I was, I forget who I was talking to, but while doing so, Big A and a couple other guys were working after practice on snapping. So this is a thing that has been worked on for a while. It's not like a last minute, like, oh golly, let's just try this one out. But he's moved into that spot, and he's huge. I mean, it's a big, big center and a big, big line. So they have the size. It's just going to be consistency and execution, all those things.
That was kind of one of the things. And again, I don't get too high or low on watching any kind of practice or scrimmage. But when I was out there, because I haven't been out there that much this year, but that's what I noticed, was there were a lot of high snaps, not great. And I think at one point, I don't know if it was Jay or just another coach, was like, come on, let's get the ball snapped. So that's interesting. I wish I would have highlighted that a little bit more, because it looked like the coaches are making a move to try to get better in that area.
Yeah, definitely. It's obviously, it doesn't matter what you're trying to do on offense. If the play doesn't start right with the snap, that blows everything up. So it's obviously the most crucial starting piece to a play and to the line. And Jacob Gardner was so good and so consistent for the last several years at that position. Kind of knew there'd be some growing pains. and we'll see what they're like. I mean, they've been high on Big A as a lineman for a while. It's just, you know, can't do it at center.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. Kevin, tell our listeners who the captains are. Coach Norvell made that announcement a couple of days ago. So who's leading this team?
Yeah, so let me see if I can remember this as we go. Tanner Morley, the big O lineman from Colorado, from Valor Christian, he's one of them. Not a surprise, he's a guy that's become, you know, really one of the faces of the program, even though he is an O lineman. BFN is voted a captain. He became a captain during the season last year, basically when Torrey Horton went down for the year, BFN took his spot. Owen Long, the linebacker, which is maybe the most surprising name because he's a true sophomore, so young player. Norvell, I think, said that's the youngest captain he's had. But I talked to Owen at Media Days, and it didn't surprise me after that conversation to then hear his name called as a captain. He's just a guy that seems very level-headed and smart, savvy, well-appreciated and liked by teammates. So he's one. Mukinde Wakalanje, another Colorado kid from Grandview, he's been through it all. He was part of the Adazio era, has kind of gone from, you know, maybe a smaller role to a really significant player. And he's one of those, he's probably never going to make the big fiery speech, but really well respected in that room. Jacob Ellis, linebacker from Iowa State. He's a guy first year in the program, but again, really well respected. He's played a lot of college football. Him and his girlfriend actually made custom hoodies for the linebacker room, which I thought was really cool. So Ellis is another guy you'll hear from a lot. And then I believe I have them all until the last one is Jaquez Donut Evans. Again, first year in the program, but we knew back in spring that he was kind of one of the leaders. He's a, you know, pretty vocal guy. He's been in this defense. And, you know, frankly, if CSU is going to be really good, they need Donut to have a conference player of the year type of season. And I think he has that ability.
Well, that's the guy you've been high on since day one, Kevin. You've said his name a lot on this show.
Yeah, Donut is a guy fans will see a lot or need to see a lot. He can rush the passer, but he can also do other things as a linebacker too. I think he's going to put up some big, big numbers.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado, and always appreciate you, man. Looking forward to recharging Rams Weekly beginning next week too. So we'll get you back in studio and we'll rock and roll in what appears to be an extremely important season for Colorado State, and specifically Jay Norvell. So it's going to be fun documenting it with you, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. It's exciting that we're actually to game time almost.
Yeah, we'll get there. We're almost a week away. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Thanks, Brady.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. Talking CSU. I didn't ask him about this, but Warren Jackson, I'm high on that guy. Or Jackson Warren. Jackson Warren. There's a Warren Jackson that played for CSU, and there's a Jackson Warren, so forgive me. I like the way he spells Jackson with two X's. Yeah, J-A-X-X-O-N. I like this dude. He's a great dude.
Is he exciting?
Yeah. Good job. I think he's going to be, I said it last year, I think this guy's going to be great. And then he got the shoulder injury. I'm just seeing clips all over the place, like DNVR Rams, Kevin's putting stuff out. Watch out for Jackson Warren.
He's excellent.
Is that it? Did you get him out? You have one more?
I have more, okay, but get one. I shouldn't.
Go ahead. You think he's an X-Man? Is that where you were going to go with your...
I mean, that's yours. You can do that.
I was watching Wolverine and Deadpool last night.
49 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Learn all about Roosevelt Rough Riders football tonight at 5 on KFKA. Presented by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.